Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
On a Tuesday, here we go. This is the Herd. Live in Los Angeles, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. One more day by myself, lonely in my house before my wife and family return. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. You've been doing a lot of binge watching, though, right?
I have watched so many baseball documentaries. I watched one last night about the Portland Mavericks. It's hysterical. You've got to watch it, folks. I watched one a couple days ago, Screwball, which is all sorts of crazy Miami baseball A-Rod stuff. Watched some good documentaries, watched a lot of TV, and as the football season gets close, I want to start with this in hour number one. I'm listening to all the Dak stuff and demanded $40 million, which has been disputed. It doesn't really matter when you get into a contract negotiation. You know, there's all a bunch of stuff thrown out there. You throw out numbers. It doesn't matter if Dak did demand $40 million, okay? It doesn't really matter. That's not what he's going to sign for. And when you get into contract negotiations, you just throw stuff out there. I've been out there. You ask for stuff you know you're not going to get. You ask for stuff you think you're going to get. You ask for stuff you're pretty sure you're going to get. He's not going to get $40 million. Who cares what he asked for? The bottom line is, where does he land, okay? But the way the Cowboys are handling this is not nearly as good as the way the Philadelphia Eagles handled this. Remember the day Carson Wentz signed his deal? We were like, oh, we didn't even know they were working on it. And they signed it, and they'll make $32 million a year, and it doesn't even start for two more years. So by the time Carson Wentz is in the middle of his contract, you're going to be saying, not a bad contract. That's a reasonable contract. But I like the way Philadelphia did their business. And by the way, in the NBA, I care about your stars. Where do the stars go? I like the Clippers this year. I like the Lakers this year. Where do your stars go? But in the NFL, you know how in baseball they always talk about you got to be good up the middle? Catcher, pitcher, shortstop, second base, center fielder. In baseball, you got to be good up the middle. In the NFL, you got to be good in four spots. Owner, GM, coach, quarterback. This is why I think the Philadelphia Eagles will dominate their division and dominate the Cowboys for the next year. Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, Howie Roseman, the GM, Doug Peterson, the coach, and Carson Wentz, to me, are all B-plus or A. And if you're a B-plus or A in the big four spots, owner, GM, coach, quarterback, you are a Super Bowl contender. This is why I find the Dallas Cowboys, for me, has always been a very difficult team to evaluate. Jerry Jones, I think he's a good businessman. I don't like his football stuff. Stephen Jones, I actually think he's the best of the four, but I'm not sure he always has the right call. Jason Garrett, Dak Prescott, like him, don't love him. They're very difficult for me to evaluate. In baseball, you want to be good up the middle. Got to have the all-star catcher, all-star shortstop, good second baseman, the athletic center fielder, and somebody that can throw the pill on the mound. But in football, it's all about the big four: owner, GM, quarterback, and coach. In Dallas, this is why I struggle with Cleveland. Owner in Cleveland, hard pass. Coach Freddie Kitchens, no idea. GM John Dorsey, loud, ego, rigid, doesn't care about character. Not my favorite. Baker, talented. He may be the best of the four, actually. You may be surprised for me to hear that. Baker may be the best of the four. He may be the best over the next 10 years of the four, Baker. And I have my certain reservations about him, though I think he's talented. If you look at me and you listen to my show, I always like the teams, not always with great quarterbacks. That's not true. I don't like New Orleans this year. They got a great quarterback. I don't always love teams with great quarterbacks. I like teams that I like the GM. Bruce Veach in Kansas City. Chris Ballard in Indianapolis. Belichick largely running New England. Howie Roseman in Philadelphia. Tom Telesco with the Chargers. By the way, the Rams, I live in Los Angeles. I've pushed back on the Rams a little. I think they overpaid massively for Brandon Cooks. I don't like that contract. And they paid Todd Gurley a year early. They didn't have to. I didn't love that contract. And I didn't say it after he got hurt. I said it before he got hurt. Why'd you pay him a year early? I think the Rams, when they eventually have to pay Jared Goff, will have to overcome those bad contracts. This is my problem. Watch how the Cowboys are handling the Dak situation. And then watch the Mahomes deal in Kansas City. You know what's going to happen one day in the next year? We're going to wake up. I'm going to come to this show, and he's going to have signed a deal, and nobody will have talked about it. Bruce Veach will have signed a deal. We're like, oh, they already got it done. Just like Philadelphia did. Just like the Colts and Chris Ballard will do eventually to Andrew Luck. Okay, I don't even know the Chargers deal with Phillip Rivers. Like, the way the Cowboys are handling it is why I always find them the hardest team in the NFL to evaluate. The owner, I know he's a good businessman, but I think he's too meddling. Stephen Jones is the best of the four, but I don't know if he always has the final say. Jason Garrett, I like. I think he's more than capable, but not top five. And Dak, somewhere in the middle of the NFL, although I do think he has a leadership qualities. I don't think you can dispute that at this point. So I the way the Cowboys are handling this is the reason I like the way the Eagles handled their business with their quarterback, and it's why I think they dominate the division for the next 10 years. Your big four. Let me segue to this. I am not a day trader. I do not check my 401k regularly. I don't try to time the stock market. I do dollar cost averaging. Every month, send a check. I am a long-term planner. Okay, that's how I think. That's how I was raised. That's what my dad was. I don't worry about how I feel this morning. Did I have a good month? When I check my TV ratings, I don't go day to day. I go year to year. Maybe at most quarter to quarter. So I don't fall in love because somebody has a good week, a good day, a good press conference, a good pass. Fans are highly emotional. That's what they do. Joe Namath is the best New York Jets quarterback of all time. For the record, met him four or five times. Could not be a nicer guy. I mean, he was a great quarterback. He's a better dude. And he's always around the Jets. And he was talking to Sam Darnold yesterday. There was a press thing. And he talked about what he liked about Sam Darnold, his expectations for the year.
Win a championship. When he got here, I liked what the coaches and the players had to say about him. When I met him, I like his demeanor. He gives you a good vibe, a good feeling. Physically, he can play as well as anybody. He just needs to keep polishing himself, and the team needs to polish up.
I love Sam Darnold. In the last 3 years, there have been 11 quarterbacks drafted early. I'll list them all for you. Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson, Mitch Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. There are two I love. Patrick Mahomes, number one, and Sam Darnold, number two. I think over the next 12 years, I'm not a day trader. I don't check my 401k regularly. I do not time the stock market. Patrick Mahomes, over the next 12 years, will be the best of all those quarterbacks. Sam Darnold will be the second best. But Colin, last year means nothing. Pro Football Focus, the last month, the last four games of last year, Sam Darnold was the highest graded quarterback in the league with nothing to work with. He is also the youngest week one starter since the NFL and AFL merged. He's a baby. 2 years younger than Baker. Lot fewer college starts. That's why I don't care what happens in week two when the Browns face the Jets. I don't care what happens in week six. Of the last 11 quarterbacks taken, Mahomes to me will be the first ballot Hall of Fame legend. Sam Darnold will be the second best. I do think Deshaun Watson and Baker have assets I really like. But I don't think Deshaun is a naturally brilliant thrower. I worry about his injuries, and I don't trust Houston up front protecting him. And Baker's in a chaotic organization. We have no idea about Freddie Kitchens. The Browns usually mess stuff up. And Baker does have some character stuff and ego that does concern me over the course of 12 years. I know, last year, what about? It means nothing. Be patient. Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years. Patrick Mahomes didn't play for a season. Jared Goff was awful for a year. You watched it on Hard Knocks. All you day traders in Cleveland, all you check my 401k regularly people, all you I time the stock market, that's not who I am. When I look at all these 11 quarterbacks, I'm looking who over the course of 12 years is my best buy. Because I'm not selling these stocks. I'm buying and holding. Mahomes 1, Darnold 2.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Some industries, it's so competitive, it's about inches. Some industries, less competitive, it's about yards. You can make mistakes. In the AFC, it's about yards. You have four really, really elite teams at the top. New England, Kansas City, Indy, and the Chargers. But by the fifth team, Cleveland. Really? Baker's in his second year, rookie head coach, youngest roster, bad history. Houston, worst O-line in the league, no current GM. Quarterback last year had to be bust because he had a punctured lung. You don't really have a fifth team. Baltimore, they don't pass much. Excellent at the top, but Houston got off to an 0-3 start and won their division. New England experiments in September. The AFC is about yards. You can make mistakes. There's some really, really bad teams at the bottom of the AFC. You can get off to a sluggish 2-3 start, and then you play in order Denver, Oakland, Buffalo, and make up a lot of ground. The NFC is about inches. It's too deep. Every Sunday matters. You can't have a three-game losing streak. You certainly can't start the season 0-3. Let's look at the top NFC teams. It's hard to have an order we would all agree on. I think Rams, Eagles are absolutely the best two teams. After that, you could argue me in and out of any position. I'll go Green Bay, Saints, Vikings. I like the Niners more than most. Bears, Cowboys, Falcons, Seahawks. I don't even put Carolina on there, and I wouldn't be shocked if they're a playoff team. Atlanta, by the way, gets mentioned by nobody outside of Atlanta. In the last 3 years, they've been to a Super Bowl. They should have won it, have an MVP quarterback, and are 28-20. And they're a throwaway team in the NFC. Nobody outside of Atlanta talks about Atlanta. Last year, I had them preseason getting to the Super Bowl until they fell apart physically. So the AFC is a conference of yards. You can start 0-3. You may have a three-game AFC stretch where you just face garbage. Look at Tom Brady's division for the last 15 years. You can write down 10 to 11 wins and not even think about it. You and I both know the Chargers and the Chiefs are going to finish in some order 1-2 in the AFC West. It's not debatable. It doesn't work that way in the NFC. That's why Dak's contract matters. It is about details. It is about manipulation of a hard salary cap. I mean, think how good Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees are. Hall of Fame first ballot. 9 years, neither has been to a Super Bowl. 9 years. Tom Brady, you almost feel like you're having a hot take if you don't put him in the Super Bowl in the AFC. This is why contracts matter. You need to have extra money to sign that second corner and that second pass rusher and that blocking tight end and a really dependable second running back. This is not the AFC where you can start 0-3. You can have a bad contract. You can kind of butcher a draft pick. It's not the reality of the conference. The NFC is a crapshoot. Last 16 years, 14 different quarterbacks have made the Super Bowl. In the AFC, it's four, and one of them, Peyton Manning, is gone. All right? One of them is gone. And so when I look at this Dak reality, it's going to matter what he pays. That he gets paid. It's going to matter. You can't go 36. I don't think you can go 34. I don't think you can give up Byron Jones and sign him. I don't think you can split those two great young linebackers up. I think you need both. I mean, if you look at the AFC right now, there's a couple of young quarterbacks I like. But it is run by a lot of older guys. Brady, Phillip Rivers, Big Ben, they'll be around in the end. In the NFC, it's Drew Brees and a bunch of young guns. So, and that's what Dak's going to be facing the next 10 years if he's in Dallas as their starting quarterback. Chris Carter talked about it this morning on First Things First. It's funny. Nobody wants to embrace Jared Goff. Everybody now is talking themselves into just pay Dak. Be careful.
Well, Jared Goff, to me, is a better quarterback than Dak. He can throw the ball. He has more variety. He has a stronger arm. He has better timing, better anticipation. Dak, his numbers suffer. When Zeke is out of the lineup, his numbers go down by 10 points. All right? Goff, that's not the case. As a passer, I will take him over Dak Prescott any day.
Young coaches, I think the better young coaches, NFC. Young quarterbacks, NFC. Better divisions, NFC. Game of inches, NFC.
What's up, everybody? I'm John Middlecoff. My podcast is 3 and Out, brought to you by Colin Cowherd and his podcast network, I Talk All Football. Coming up on the show this week, Dak Prescott, $40 million a year. Antonio Brown, can he actually find a helmet? And our big hits. I'm talking in the secondary, guys getting laid out, coming back to the NFL. You can hear it all right now, 3 and Out Podcast with me, John Middlecoff.
Joy Taylor is joining me. I'm taking a great deal of flack for calling cantaloupe the world's best fruit. I love to turn on Meet the Press, put my suspenders on, eat cantaloupe all day. It feels great. It's not needy. I've gotten rid of friends that are needy. I don't like needy fruit. Oranges are needy. You can't open them. You can't peel them. They leave stuff all over you. Pineapples are too harsh. I've got to pick stuff out of my teeth. Cantaloupe is just dissolves into your mouth. It, like when I married Anne, I can't be your social director. Anne disappears for 4 days at a time. I have no idea where she is. I mean, she could be running another company, be in another marriage. I have no idea. But it's perfect because I can't be your social director. I can't have needy friends. I can't have needy fruit. Cantaloupe is not needy. It's just, you pop it in and it dissolves.
Colin,
cantaloupe
is literally like a rock. Like you have to cut it in the same way that you cut a pineapple.
Well, I buy it already.
Parched. Okay, but you're talking, who buys a whole pineapple? You don't buy the cubed pineapple?
No, it's hard on your mouth.
What do you mean it's hard? It's
citrusy. You can break out and get swollen. And
what you're saying makes no sense. Like, if you have three fruits that you have to survive on,
yeah.
Orange is the least needy of all. You can just peel it apart with your hands.
No, apples, grab, bite, eat. Some pesticides, you'll die early. But by and large, with an apple, grab, bite, eat, over. Like, I like stuff that just boom out. Same with my pets.
So literally going to the store and next to the cantaloupe is a container of pineapple.
Nope, not
interested. And you choose to eat the cantaloupe over the pineapple.
Oh, God, not even close. Every time. Look at me. I'm a picture of health.
Cantaloupe and honeydew are just filler fruit in fruit cups where better fruit should go.
Well, we see the world differently. Give me my suspenders. Meet the press.
You're going to lose this debate.
So good to have you in, everybody. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about the Raiders, HBO Hard Knocks. We're all kind of wondering, will they cover the Antonio Brown situation, which is all sorts of crazy town, right? But remember that show called Wife Swap? I watched it a couple times.
Show.
Yeah, it was crazy. So they would take, like, boring wife and put her in unstable crazy town family. Or they'd take crazy town wife and put her in boring family. And that was the show. It was funny. It was this disconnect. Antonio Brown is not going to blow up the Raiders. He fits the Raiders. For 20 years, get over this commitment to excellence. They don't even feel like the rest of the NFL. The NFL's very corporate. It's very IBM. They don't feel like the rest of the league. Their uniforms look like practice uniforms. They tarp off the upper deck. They make the least amount of money on game days. They have the poorest owner. They hire their GM and their coach from television. They really have no direction as a franchise. They've had 9 coaches in 16 years. Cleveland's been bad. Cleveland's been chaotic. But they feel like part of the NFL. The Raiders don't. The Raiders feel a little bit like Donald Sterling's Clippers. The Bengals for about 15 years. The Oakland A's with Charlie Finley. Where the A's used to put their games on a college radio station. You know, the Raiders year to year don't know where they're playing. The Raiders lobbied to get on Hard Knocks. Everybody else lobbies to get not on Hard Knocks. So I don't think Antonio Brown, he's a mystery. He's an enigma. That's the Raiders. Now, I do think he was wildly troublesome for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are the model. They're not just stable. They're the model of stability in the NFL. Three coaches in like 60 years. Rooney, Kevin Colbert. They don't fire coaches. They're they have arguably the best fans. They have the second biggest brand in the league after the Cowboys. So Antonio Brown was disruptive. Was very disruptive for Pittsburgh. I don't think he is for the Raiders. I just don't think the Raiders are particularly good. I don't think they're buttoned down. I think they're fun. I don't think they're a playoff team. And frankly, two of the best 5-6 teams in the NFL, Chargers, Chiefs, are in their own division. So, you know, it's not the greatest division to be in if you've got some dysfunction. But, I mean, I tend to think that chaos amongst chaos is not as disruptive. You know, like, you ever go to Vegas with some buddies? And when you go to Vegas, you're in your 20s and 30s, maybe you're older, that all it takes, if you got like four grown-ups and one idiot, it just takes the idiot guy to ruin the trip. Somebody has to babysit the idiot. So choose, when you travel to Vegas as guys, choose wisely. Because if you have four stable guys, it just takes one goofball to blow the trip up. But if you went with four guys and they're all train wrecks, they're all marginally employed, they're all been in trouble, they all have a history of goofiness, and then throwing in another goofy guy doesn't matter. The whole weekend's a mess. It's like hangover three. So I look at AB to the Raiders. He's not disruptive. He's on brand. This is who they are, an enigma. All right, let me shift to LeBron James. This story is interesting. So I'm a big believer in self-awareness. If you're a pro athlete, understand the temperature of the room. I do think it's harder for NBA players because let's be honest about this. Let's talk about baseball players. Baseball players live a life of failure. Derek Jeter bats 300, meaning 70% of the time he walks back to the dugout, he failed. So baseball's constantly about how do you handle failure? It's a minor leagues, college, high school, but Hall of Famers are on 3 out of 7 times. You learn, you're beaten down constantly by baseball. And so you learn to handle failure. In the NFL, you get hit. You get cut. Football practice is hard. You play in terrible weather. So you're constantly in baseball, you're being humbled. And in football, you're constantly being humbled. Basketball's different. You can spot talent early. You watch those videos of Zion at 15, you're like, okay, that's an NBA player. Half the NFL's undrafted. I mean, baseball's got 40 rounds to find players. In the NBA, by the 8th pick, you kind of run out of dependable players. There's about 8 people a year come into the league. On average, last 30 years, 2 all-stars, a draft. That's it. 4th player this year, it's a project. And now they come into the league young. But in basketball, the culture is more about worshiping. It's more about gassing up the player. He's a star. He joins an AAU team. He gets swag. He's got a shoe deal. Zion's played 9 minutes of summer league. He's got a $100 million shoe deal. So it is harder for a professional basketball player in America, and all these pro athletes are like 24 years old, right? They enter the sports at 21, NBA they enter at 19. So it's harder to ask professional basketball players to have self-awareness and don't fall in love with yourself. It's harder. Basketball culture is a worship, shoe, idolization, money earlier league. But once you've been in the league 10 years, I'm going to hold you accountable. Now you're a man. Now you're 30 years old. Now I'm going to ask for Carmelo Anthony a little more self-awareness. And I'm especially going to ask for a little more self-awareness from LeBron James because I think he's smart. I think he's got smart handlers. I think he's been around the block. And I didn't love this. LeBron James put himself in a picture with Magic, Shaq, Kobe, and Kareem. Honored and grateful to be a part of greatness. Starting 5 versus any franchise all time. I don't love this. LeBron's not a Laker great. LeBron's great. He's an all-time great. Randy Johnson's an all-time great pitcher. One of the most intimidating I've ever seen. He joined the Yankees. He is not a Yankee great. Randy Johnson is an all-time great. He didn't win enough in New York to be an all-time Yankee great. Nobody puts him in the top 20 Yankees of all time. There's just too many good ones. The Lakers have had too many good players. Jerry West doesn't make that. Wilt make that. Elgin Baylor, who I didn't see play. He doesn't make it. LeBron, I like you. I really do. This whole L.A. thing, it's kind of, and L.A. does this, it kind of changes people a little. You're not a Laker great. You're an all-time great. Some say the greatest ever. Now, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came out and said, yeah, he doesn't have anything to prove to anyone. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. He has to prove to the city of Los Angeles this is not a money grab and not an opportunity for him to have more shows and movies and businesses. Listen, I am not going to hold 24-year-old NBA players to have great self-awareness. The sport doesn't humble you. Baseball does. Football does. You just get humbled. Tom Brady got humbled last week. Basketball, it's a different sport. We pay these kids $100 million after 9 minutes of summer league. That's not even the league. That's just a shoe company. Of course they like themselves. But LeBron, you're better than this. You have more self-awareness than this. You're not an all-time Laker great. You're an all-time great. You're Randy Johnson to the Yankees. You could be, but you got something to prove. That Los Angeles isn't just a place for you to open pizza chains, have movies, more TV shows, and Hollywood relationships. Go to a Laker game. 99% of the people there don't live in Hollywood, don't work in Hollywood. They're sports fans. Even in glitzy Los Angeles, they care about winning games. They're not famous. They don't know any famous people. They're salespeople. They're executives. Go to the upper deck. Middle America. It really is. Even in Los Angeles. Got to win games. I didn't love that picture.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Eric Mangini is joining us, former head coach of the Jets and Browns, Patriot defensive coordinator, 49ers defensive coordinator. So, we were talking about Jeff Fisher came on the show yesterday. And he said, listen, man, when I started the job, it was 80% me doing schematics and 20% babysitting. By the end of my career, about halfway through, it was 80% taking care of the players. I could hand the schematics off. I think Cleveland's talented. I think they're unrealistic. Freddie Kitchens is the coach. He's never been a coordinator for a full season. So when I say, I think we're getting a little gassed up on this Cleveland thing, do I sound like a hater?
No, you sound like someone who actually has a realistic view of how things are. So not only is he going to be a first-time head coach, he's going to be a first-time coordinator for a full season. And I think they may have named a coordinator, but he's going to be running that. And there's so many things that come up during the course of the day that you didn't anticipate. And Jeff and I were talking about this yesterday in the avocado room, how you set your schedule, and then there's at least five things a day that come up that weren't in your schedule that take precedence over whatever you had. And as a first-time guy, you've never dealt with any of those issues. And you just don't know what you don't know. And things take longer than they should because it's your first time going through it. And the worst thing that you can have is a pile of expectations put on you as well. Because people are going to play the Browns differently in the early part of the season than they would have if they didn't have these expectations.
Oh, you think that's true?
Oh, without a doubt. Because the Browns are the favorite or a favorite to go to the Super Bowl, to go to the playoffs. Teams aren't going to give them a pass like they may have historically. They're going to come at them full throttle from the beginning, and it's different. It's different than when you have no expectations going into the season. You can kind of figure your way through some things.
Yeah,
he didn't have that luxury.
Yeah, somebody told me years ago, Muhammad Ali got everybody's best fight. Yep. Kobe Bryant got everybody's best effort. Nobody said on the schedule, I play Kobe tomorrow. I'm going to go out and party.
Right.
Like Peyton Manning, you know this. Peyton Manning kept defensive coordinators – up for 2 weeks. So Cleveland now, you look at the schedule, you're like, oh, that's the noisiest team in the league. So do you feel like when you play a good team or one with high expectations, your players are more focused for the week?
Without a doubt. Not only is it the noisiest team, but they go out and they have one drive in the preseason. That's a pretty good drive. Now that they spring no huddle on the Washington Redskins on the first drive of the preseason, they go down and score and you're taking pictures in the end zone. Like, you're noisy on the first drive of preseason, and every other team in the league is going to look at that and go like, oh, okay, this is what we're going to get. So every time you score, you're going to act like this. This is how you're going to be. No one wants to be embarrassed. And when you go out and you kind of embarrass someone the first drive of preseason, it's like, all right, lock and load, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, they really did. They kind of taunted the Redskins. They scored in the end zone, took pictures. And I think, you know, it's so easy to see from outside that you shouldn't do this, but I think Cleveland's just happy they're relevant.
Well, and I live in Cleveland, so I see all the things and hear all the things of we're going to let guys be who they are, and this is about expressing yourself. That's great. That's great as long as you're winning and there's order and there's things are following the path that you hope they follow. But when things don't go the way that you hope, how do you reel all that stuff back in? And it's hard. Once it starts, it's hard to reel all those things back in.
Eric Mangini is joining us. We were talking about, I had said earlier, the Raiders brand for 15 years has been chaotic. So I don't think Antonio Brown will be a cause of the Raiders' issues. He is a symptom of them. And whereas Pittsburgh's been known for stability, and I think he really was jarring to the organization. It threw them for a loop. When I look at the Raiders, I mean, for the last 15 years, they've just been different. They've been an enigma. They tarp off the upper deck. They run through coaches. They hire people from television. I kind of think he is the Raiders. And I don't think if they struggle, he's the problem. Or am I wrong that even in organizations that have a history of chaos, chaos is not a better fit?
Well, first of all, with the Steelers, they have had incredible stability, but they've always had members of the family that were challenging. They've always had members of the family that were different than and hard to deal with, and that's gone on for years and years. And Antonio, I don't think, is that different than some of the guys that they've had in the past. To me, Oakland's trade for Antonio for a 3 and a 5th, or they swapped fifths, it was a pretty amazing trade. I mean, especially when you compare it to getting Odell Beckham for a 1 and what they had to give up, you get the best receiver or arguably one of the top 3 or 4 receivers in the NFL for a 3rd-round draft pick. That's a pretty amazing opportunity to have. Now, you're going to have to live with the other stuff, and you when you go into that business, you deal with 6 days to get to the 7th day. You know that you're going to have to deal with some pain and some discomfort and some disruption in order to get the upside on Sunday. And John's had players like that in the past. He's comfortable working in that world. And so now you get an elite talent like that for very little trade value. It actually makes a lot of sense for them.
Sounds like you like Oakland.
Well, look, I think John knows who John is. I think John has had success with players that have been difficult in the past. It's not something that concerns him. He had an opportunity to go get an elite special player for nothing. It was essentially a fire sale.
Vontaze Burfict is a guy that can be difficult. He was more than happy to get him.
And he mixed it in with draft picks that are all considered to have really high character. And so it's an interesting dynamic that they're building there. But I don't think it's outside of the Raiders brand, and I don't think it's necessarily outside of John's brand.
Put that chart up, guys, Greg, John. 11 quarterbacks have been picked first round in the last 3 years, and a lot of good ones. I said if I had to, I'm not a day trader. I don't time the market. I don't look at my 401k. Long-term investment, I draft a quarterback and think 12 years. I'm looking for traits, maturity, size, durability, coachability. If I had to take, of all the 11 quarterbacks in the last 3 years, I'd say Mahomes 1, Darnold 2. Then we can argue about the rest. I like Deshaun Watson 3. If I said to you, give me your three out of Kyler, Daniel, Dwayne, Baker, Sam, Josh, Lamar, Mitch, Patrick, Deshaun, give me your three in order. 12-year investment.
This is a pretty hard list, right? We've seen Kyler Murray for, what, 10 plays, Daniel Jones for...
Hey, this is not an easy show.
I'm just saying, like, okay. I like Deshaun Watson. I know that you love Sam Darnold.
You don't like Darnold?
Well, he's okay. His interception to touchdown ratio is pretty much even, right? It's similar to what it was in college. Below 60% completion percentage, losing record. I mean, there's a lot of things that I can see based off of last year. You're thinking, okay, he's the guy for the next 12 years, and he's going to unseat
Tom Brady.
So
I'm Mahomes Darnold. You're Mahomes who?
I like Watson. I think Deshaun Watson is in the third year of his system. He's had over 100 quarterback rating in the last 2 years. He's had 45 touchdowns and 17 picks. He's able to make dynamic plays. Now, the amount that he gets sacked is a problem, and some of that is a function of the offensive line, and some of that is a function of him holding onto the ball. But his ability to make plays and being in the third year of the system after being as productive as he's been the first 2 years, to me, that's exciting.
Who's your third?
With that list, take your pick. Throw them, like, is that proven?
You're in Cleveland. What about Baker?
If based off of the numbers and the success that he's had, I would probably take Baker over Darnold at this point.
Well, that's unfortunate.
But some of these other guys, I mean, we're talking about a pretty small sample size, don't you think, Colin?
Of course we are. I'm not saying this is perfect. It was a rant, and I just offered you an opportunity to have an opinion in the rant. That was fine with me. Okay, one more question.
Okay.
We all kind of know, I said this earlier, that you got to be careful about, well, this quarterback wins. Mark Sanchez won a lot. Tebow won a lot. Glenn Close is maybe the best actor of my life. She never won an Oscar. Kobe Bryant has won. Be careful about winning, okay? Like, award shows give people wins. In the industry, people know who the truly great artists are. Martin Scorsese has one Oscar. He's one of the smartest, most devoted film people in my life. The whole Dak wins thing. If I'm a GM today and you tell me Wentz or Dak, even with the injury issues, I overwhelmingly take Wentz. He's just a better talent. He's bigger, better arm, more of a whip. Plays, I think, with less cautious. What do you do with Dak when, you know, you have been in these rooms where it's like, this is a hard cap league. NFC is loaded. Inches count. Where do you fall on Dak's contract?
Well, to me, I don't know if it's completely fair to disregard wins. Because when you look at a guy like Carson Wentz, 2 out of 3 seasons where he's been a starter, they have a losing record. Okay, when you look at Dak Prescott, in every category, he's better than Carson Wentz, or almost. So whether it's head-to-head, whether it's divisional wins, whether it's playoff appearances, whether it's completion percentage, so all those things, you look at it and you say, okay, Dak Prescott is better. And then you look at durability. Dak doesn't miss games. And Carson could be the best quarterback ever if he's not available to play. It really doesn't matter. Looking at the contract situation, do I think that he is a top 5 quarterback right now? No, I don't think that he is. But the market is what the market is. And if you want to redo his deal at this point, it's going to have to come in at least at where Carson Wentz was. And I think that's a very fair comparable. If I was the organization, I think it'd be great to be able to let it ride this season, knowing that you have the franchise tag the next season. Franchise number this year is $25 million. His $2 or $3 million this year, 20, you know, let's say it goes up a couple million. You get him for 2 years for $32 million.
There's a sense that you have to sign it because Zeke is demanding he get signed. Dallas doesn't have to do anything.
No, you don't have to do anything. And is Dak not going to play if he doesn't get signed this year? And he can bet on himself. And that's worked out for a couple people. Kirk Cousins, Joe Flacco, it worked out great for. And with Joe Flacco, it worked out great for the Ravens, too, for that year. The year that he was the hungriest, they won the Super Bowl. Guys playing for a contract are really, really motivated, special types of players. Yeah. And so to be able to have a guy continually chasing that, there's real upside there.
Good seeing you. How long are you in town for?
I'm here through Friday. So maybe I'll see you again.
Well, hopefully you will. It'd be nice if you could occasionally commit to the show. You're a very busy guy. Eric Mangini.